From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spill, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Yeah, so here we are again this week on Beers with the Brewers. This is the Thursday, October 24th episode. We've got myself, Mark, on the podcast today. Walt.
Hello.
Adam.
Back from a hiatus.
Back from a hiatus. And Chris.
Hello.
From Land Grant Brewing Company. And we've got really special guests today joining us on this beer that we've collaborated with National Vets Memorial and Museum. So guests from over there, we've got Nick Woods, Senior Advancement Officer.
Hello.
And very special guest, Lieutenant General Mike Ferreter, President and CEO over at the National Vets Memorial and Museum.
Oh, good to be with you. Yeah.
Yeah, nice to have you on.
It's great to have our neighbors.
Yeah. Beautiful day for a walk over.
It is. Yeah, nice day.
We're excited to have you guys talk about this beer here, the Four Pillars Ale, but it's been basically a year that now you guys have finally moved into the neighborhood after Vets Memorial had been there for a while, but now that it's an actual museum. We got real excited when the announcement, we got to watch the whole build-out, so I think it was a natural fit for us, and we're excited to talk about this beer and excited to have you guys on the podcast. So.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you.
So this beer is called Four Pillars Pale Ale. It's biscuity, cereal, lemon, and peach are kind of the notes you get off of this beer. Walt, do you want to give us a quick rundown on upcoming events?
Yeah, we'll run through them real quick this week, seeing as we've got some
talk about some events with our neighbors coming up this weekend.
Yeah, so first off, running through this weekend, starting today, a timely sort of promotion. If you come in and pick up a six-pack of Four Pillars or a pint of Four Pillars, you're going to get a free Four Pillars poster while supplies last. That's running Thursday through Sunday. And on Sunday, if you come in, we're having a sort of all-day happy hour sort of event where 20% of the beer proceeds will go to benefit the National Vets Memorial and Museum. So that starts today. Today being Thursday, the 24th. And then tomorrow, looking around the tap room, it's being decorated as we speak.
Spookified, I think.
In a very spooky fashion for our annual Halloween party, which is going down Friday night.
We have to call pest control. There's a lot of cobwebs that have showed up.
There's a lot more cobwebs than normal and some oversized spiders that we might need to get checked out. So DJ Ender, Land Grant favorite, will be here. DJing a taproom dance party from 7 to midnight. There's going to be a costume contest and a lot of fun Halloween activities Friday night. So come down, wear your costume, come down and party with us. Yeah, and then real briefly, looking forward to the holiday season. We keep mentioning Short Note Trolley Company is going to be running their holiday lights tour beginning from and ending at Land Grant. So go check out the Short North Trolley Company's website to book that. And we're going to be having our holiday enchantment party with Santa Claus and all that fun stuff on December 14th. So put that on your calendar now. Oh, and I forgot one event. If you're heading down to the Ohio State-Wisconsin game on Saturday, the 11 Warriors annual Dubgate tailgate's going on. It all benefits Down Syndrome Achieves, and they're going to have some Land Grant beers there, some food, some eats, all kinds of fun stuff. So 11 Warriors. You don't need to buy a ticket. Just go on down. But you can buy a ticket ahead of time at 11warriors.com. Check that out.
So we'll what year is this on that, Walt?
This is year 9.
Year 9. So 9 years ago to this tailgate was the first time that, at that time, Oval Brewing, but previous Land Grant, was available besides our friends and family. So,
yeah.
It debuted at what used to be called E2 Brutus. So head on down. And some of you may have been at that original event.
Yeah, say hi. I'll be there. And we'll just keep it brief and with that today.
That's awesome. So rolling into basically what I think we should start with, although normally we talk about the flavors of the beer and deets on that, I think let's first get into kind of the brand and inspiration in this and talk about, I think, with two very qualified gentlemen over here, what the four pillars are over at Vets Memorial and Museum.
Okay, this is Lieutenant General Mike Farrader. Served 35 years in the Army and retired in 2014. I was in Columbus, Georgia, when I got a call to come to Columbus, Ohio.
Keep the first part of the name, which is good.
It makes it easy for us infantry guys. And they asked if I wanted to be the founding CEO and president of the new National Veterans Memorial Museum. And it sounded intriguing, and it sounded awesome, and it is. And so Margie and I moved here to our new hometown, Columbus. They told us we had to do two things right off the bat. One is hire the staff, because I'm the only one hired, train them, and then number two, open in 90 days. And when we looked at the National Veterans Memorial Museum, it is a storytelling museum, and I want all of you to come and experience it. It tells the stories of our veterans. The architecture is made up mostly of arches, so there were no pillars. There's no weight-supporting or weight-bearing pillars, except for four, which are the pillars of who we really are. And so those pillars are to honor, connect, inspire, and educate. Honor veterans, their families, service and sacrifice. Connect veterans to America and America to veterans. Inspire everyone to something bigger than self. So whether you're a high school coach out there, or a teacher, or a first responder, or a military member, do something that makes a difference in the world. And then educate. Initially, it was educate the K through 12 team, and so we have really good history stuff in there. But then we found out we're actually educating everyone about what it was to be a veteran or to be a military member. And so with those four pillars, then I challenged our team to impact the lives of 1 million people each year, not just 100,000 that walk through the halls. And if you're a leader that can really promote innovative and creative ideas and workforce, then it's fun being a leader. And so I asked our team to come up with any idea that helps us to hit one of those pillars. And Nick Wood came up with an idea that I'll let him describe on why we're here today.
Yeah, so being, you know, neighbors with Land Grant, we really thought, their expertise in storytelling, we were inspired by the ways in which they support the community around them through their beer, through giving back, and through just telling stories. We thought, we're storytellers, they're good storytellers, so let's find a way to collaborate. And so getting together with you all and being able to talk about our story, having you into the museum to see the exhibits, to hear the veteran's story, I think really served as inspiration to you around the idea behind this can. So we'd love to hear, what were your first impressions when you visited the museum?
Well, I think as Lieutenant General Federer said, that educate piece, I grew up, my grandfather served in World War II, and that was something that was very close to us. He, would tell our his story of his service. But that was really my extent of kind of having military in the family. But going through and seeing the way it's set up from basically the recruitment through deployment through the whole life cycle of a veteran, I think that piece is very powerful. And I think describing it and talking about it, you don't really get as much as the museum was able to really show that immersiveness from multiple folks that had gone through it. And I think that is something that is very impactful from that piece of education. So I think once we were able to go through it, and I know, and Walt will talk through, once you get up to the top floor with the windows that inspired really the art on the can, the museum itself it fits very well with all of the themes, and it's something that, if you haven't gone, if you're in Columbus, you're really missing out on something. And if you're, I think the neat thing about it too, it's the National Museum, so it's something that really it's for everyone. It's not just the Ohio Veterans Museum. So
When Michaela and I went over and Nick gave us a tour, I was walking through with an idea of we're gonna create this beer, and so looking for ideas of how can we communicate, how can we translate the story of the museum into a beer label, because it's people aren't looking at beer labels very long. You have to catch them, and you have to tell that story really quickly, and maybe they'll pick it up and read the fine details. But you want to convey what the beer and what the institution is all about as quickly and succinctly as possible. And the one thing that kept coming up during our tour was this idea of the four pillars holding up the Memorial Museum and its mission. You know, the building itself is incredibly striking, just from a strictly architectural standpoint. And I mean, I think it's an incredible addition to Columbus, you know, just the building alone. But what happens inside there is really what makes it special. And so that idea of the four pillars really kind of, as soon as I left, I was like, that's going to be the name. That's a great name. Like, it works well as a beer name. It works well to draw the customer, the viewer, whatever, however you want to put it, into the story of Vets. And so with that, then how do we describe that visually? How do we make it visually appealing? And there's a lot of incredible spaces within that building. But for me, the really, really cool thing is you go up either from the outside onto the roof and looking in, or if you come up inside looking out with the sun coming through the big stained glass windows that all have the campaign ribbons, is that?
Battle streamers and yeah. Campaign ribbons.
Yeah. Representing all of these campaigns and conflicts all the way back to the Civil War, I thought that was just an amazing thing that reflected this. You know, it's not just now, it's not just World War II, it's just the entire history of America. And I thought it was a very visually striking way to just represent all of that. And I guess I really learned something, because before, I don't think I realized that, you know, each of those ribbons represented a specific thing. And I mean, I'm sure I sort of suspected as much, but I didn't realize that each campaign had its own, you know, set of colors and stripes and design. And since I've learned that, now that I see them, I can sort of place them. And that was a big takeaway for me. And I also just thought it was a very, you know, striking graphic representation of the mission as well. So, and that's where I pulled the inspiration there.
That's great. Great to hear, as seen through your eyes. Mm-hmm. We every day we have people come in there. Had a Vietnam veteran come in about 2 weeks ago, and he concluded, we give him a pin and a certificate thanking for his service. And the Vietnam population in particular received a pretty crappy welcome home. Mm-hmm. And he started crying a bit, and then he said, you know what, I finally, after 50 years, feel validated for a service to my country. And mm-hmm. that's the way we can touch lives and impact lives. Every single day, and that's what those battle streamers represent.
Yeah.
Hundreds and thousands of American men and women who answered the call, and so that's why you see them. Kind of, you drive down the road, you say, "Hey, wait a minute," because that's somebody's granddad was probably in the Philippine campaign or yeah. something like that.
Yeah,
it's really neat, the individual stories, because I think the personal story really gets me. That every single person that has given of themselves to the country. Are represented in a very honest, individual, and personal way. And it is very humbling to walk through some of those exhibits. Mm-hmm. And Nick was gracious enough to give us a personal tour and really, really highlighted a lot of those. And I want to go back over sometime when I've got a few hours to really spend the time and go through each and every personal story and exhibit.
What's amazing is, so we started with 250 veterans and down selected to 25 who tell a very compelling story. But based on when you start the tour, 5 minutes later, you'll probably line up on different folks telling their story of why I joined or mm-hmm. what the oath of office meant to me, just by 5 minutes. So you could go 10 days in a row, and you might have 10 different tours. And then you'll see things, even after we're right coming on this first year, that, you know, I'll ask, is that new? And the people say, no, sir, that's been there the whole time. So it's just it's an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And then another thing I found to be very very interesting and I think great is how you guys talk. It's like a living record, and that you're constantly collecting more veteran stories and more veterans' experiences, and just constantly collecting those so that you can tell hopefully someday tell everyone's story.
I mean, we're partnering up with Witness to War. The University of Oregon has a program, the Mighty Endeavor, the Library of Congress. Within the walls, though, we have a recording booth, and we're building out an online recording booth. So if you're a veteran in Tacoma, or you know Tampa or San Diego, and you could never maybe get here, then your granddad could tell the story, and we'll be able to transcribe those so that they're all in a database. So if you were wanting to write a book about, you know, being a grandson of a World War II vet, you might find lots of experiences. Mm-hmm. And so our plan is to build out quite a bit. Airstreams has offered us two trailers, and Reichert Ford's offered us two trucks for a mobile experience. And that's the way we can reach coast to coast. That's the way we can reach all over the city. And that's the way we can draw people into the city so that they can just see what a great town this is and what great people are a part of this town.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the share your story aspect, it really gets back to the exhibits because, you know, while you go to other museums, you know, you might get the planes and you might get the ships and the, you know, different things. Here, you really do focus in on that story. And what we find for people that come through is by the time they get through it, they're ready to tell their story too, right? So our volunteers, our staff, you know, are touched by, you know, these stories every single day, being able to hear. You know, it's one person's individual experience that really tells the story of our nation, you know, from a different perspective each time. And so we take very seriously our duty to be able to gather those, collect them, and then share them back with folks all across the country, as General Ferreter said, through mobile experiences that'll come online and different things. It's so important, getting back to those four pillars, to honor veteran stories, to connect people to those stories, to inspire people through them, and that education piece all across the way, you know, talking about what can we learn from the men and women who have committed their lives to serving our country.
I think one of my favorite things is in that when you walk in through the entrance and then to the left, that whole gallery, almost a portrait gallery, I'm not sure what the name, but and you see the on the one side, it's the picture of when the men and women enlisted, and then the other side is when they kind of told their story, right?
So right, that, yeah.
Yeah, I think what, you know, the summary, I think we got a lot out of it. It humanizes it more, as opposed to just seeing the, you know, you go to, you see the battleship, or you go down to Baltimore or something like that, and you actually you see the people and not the objects of the war and the campaigns. And,
you know, our men and women that are in there are from all the different services: Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard, from World War II all the way up to today. Every face that you might see on the street or see, you know, all walks of life, because that's what the military does. Is you know, they it's the great American story that you can join the military as a young African American, and you can be Colin Powell. He went to, State University of New York or New York City University, and he told me he was just a mess in college, and went to the Army program, and then he's the ranking 4-star general. You know, that's part of the whole storyline is this is an ethical space, an ethical place that says what can really be good about America and how we all treat each other, and we see it every, we do see it every single day. So one of the things that we get to do is try to find a way to impact more. And imagine if Rolling Thunder comes to town next year. This is that motorcycle event of 500,000 motorcycles that Washington, D.C. doesn't want. So maybe we'll come back and give an official podcast notification over this here very shortly. But that's just another way. The Rolling Thunder is really about the prisoners of war and missing in action. And so these are all the different ways that we think we can make a difference in helping. We're going to have a Vetrepreneur store online. So all these young guys and girls that are up on some observation point in Afghanistan look at each other and say, if we get out of this crap alive, let's start this beer company, right? Let's start Lead Slinger Whiskey or Black Rifle Coffee. So we're going to have that online as well, because we know we can help them as they get into merchandising, where often someone says, you were just a young sergeant. Why should I even let you meet the vice president of merchandising? So we got 1,000 ideas, and if you want to be a part of it, then we're ready to bring you on the team for sure.
I think one thing that is definitely near and dear to my heart that we actually, Joe here at the brewery, being a veteran of the Marines, you talked about the last time when we were at Vets Memorial, the Veterans Golf Association that, yeah, that you're involved in. I think that's a really neat thing to get trying to get in more to golf, and it's definitely a game that can seem like it's not approachable to people, but as something to definitely bring people together.
Yeah. So here's the rest of the story. This weekend at the Greenbrier, of all places, you know, a bucket list type place, we're gonna have our fifth annual national championship for Veteran Golfers Association, and so 80 golfers from across America will come, and they each are in a flight with a handicap from 0 to 4, 5 to 9, all the way up to 16 and above to 18 or whatever. So you could be a relatively crappy golfer.
That's what you can get. I keep telling him you should play in it.
So, yeah, you know, from Boise, Idaho, you can win the Western States, and then somebody, for some reason, put something together to fly you into West Virginia, where you'll do 3 days of golf. Mm-hmm. Now, the rest of the story truly is we have 8,000 golfers in the Veteran Golfers Association, and if you're a veteran or a family member, you know, look it up and join, because it connects veterans to each other. And after 5 years with 8,000 veterans, not one suicide from that group. And so these are the kind of things that this is where the passion comes, where we come in to say, you know, we get them all together, they'll fix something. Veterans are hardwired to get up, move out, and fix it, and then they're hardwired to connect, and they want to, and then they're hardwired to make a difference in people's lives. So the VGA, fifth national championship, I report for duty on Sunday night and as a grand marshal, and then, you know, hit the first ball and then play for fun after that, and then they have a warm-up day. And then they play two days of championship golf. It's
not
amazing.
Not a bad place to be at the Greenbrier. Yeah, it's a beautiful resort. Yeah, no, so yeah, it's you definitely can connect with a lot of folks and let your emotions out on the golf course. So that's great. So Chris, what about this beer?
Yeah,
this
we do have a brewer as well.
How are these going down? I think everybody's had a couple sips, but
mine is down.
And how's that going on the beers, guys?
Very smooth.
Very smooth.
Yeah, very smooth.
Excellent. Thank you. This beer, you know, we actually went through several different styles trying to come up with what style worked for this beer. I think one of the things was an amber. One of them was a light lager, and we ultimately landed on pale ale. And kind of where we came up with that idea is every year, Yakima Chief Hops, I think that's what they're going by now, YCH, they do a veterans blend and of hops. And although the timing didn't work out for this beer to use the veterans blend, we kind of looked at what hops were in it. And we don't know the ratios or anything, but we kind of looked at that and said, oh, that's similar to some of the other beers we've made. So we took Homage Pale Ale, which had a bunch of Euconaut in it, formerly Equinox, and the honey malt. And then we did a collaboration with Petit Colas that had Centennial and Cascade, which are very traditional hops. And then Something Easy is a Euconaut single hop pale ale. So we kind of took all those, mashed them together, and you know, I think we came out with a pretty solid 5.3 ABV pale ale. The caramel malt kind of balances out the hops, so it's pretty well balanced and goes down a little smoother. Not just a hop bomb. And I think it turned out pretty smooth. As kind of mentioned earlier, with the four words, where were they there? Biscuity, cereal, lemon, and peach. Yeah, I definitely get a lot of biscuit and cereal from the grain. I get a fair amount of fruit and everything. And like it says here, malt sweetness balances out the hop bitterness.
Yeah, I'd say I get the lemon on the nose and then the peach kind of on the kind of the end of the tasting.
Yeah, definitely getting that lemon.
Yeah, definitely balanced is a great word for this, because it is truly balanced. There's a good malt presence, there's a good hop bitterness, but just not too much of either, just right in the range. It's right in the range for a pale ale. I love it.
Yeah, and this is one of the beers we didn't want to alienate a certain sect of the brewing market and be like, no, you aren't going to like this beer. So I think this beer it will appeal to most beer drinkers out there, mm-hmm. Because it is balanced. You know, there are hops in it. You can taste the hops, but it's balanced out by that malt. And you know, I think it'd be really or it is really good. I don't think it will be. It is.
Yeah, we're drinking it today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the question mark that you were you're alluding to, the question on everyone's mind that have been tuning in.
The question is, indeed, very crushable for me. Mm-hmm. I think we better start with the guests. General Ferreter.
I would say it is crushable to a 6 out of 6.
Six out of six. Crusher.
Yeah, I got to follow General Ferreter's lead. It's all the way up there.
Yeah, and as we always say, and you can't do it anymore. We could say you could take the autonomous shuttle from the Vets Memorial to your next spot, but. The city discontinued that, but you should Uber and Lyft, crush responsibly. But I'm going to probably come in at a 5 on this, 5 out of 6. I think it's very at that 5.3. It's right in the wheelhouse. Generally over 5%. I'm at about a 5 crusher, but it's super drinkable. It finishes nice and clean. I think the brewers did a great job on this. I would. You could probably twist my arm to make it a 6 as well.
He could muscle down to a 6.
I could do a 6.
6.
Yeah, I'll probably go 6. I'm gonna change it.
Yeah, I think I'm not gonna leave our guests hanging on one beer alone.
Yeah.
And obviously with Wisconsin Ohio State game coming up this weekend, you've got to think of the span of time from tailgating to the end of the game. Easy 6 crusher.
One thing that. I'd like everyone to know that we really appreciate the relationship and friendship that we have with you. Appreciate any of the proceeds that all of you out there generate by buying this delicious beer. It's important to know we have a title, the National Veterans Memorial and Museum, but we receive no funding. So these kind of relationships where we find common ground with people in order to generate money for the museum means that we can impact more lives and we can take care of more people. We can start more programs and, you know, we can get out there as well as, you know, we can enjoy each other. But I just want to make sure everyone knows, first of all, if you want to be a member, go to the website. If you want to be a corporate member, go to the website. If you want to drink beer, go to their website. And then if you want to take care of veterans, join in with us and Land Grant, because that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and you could swing by the museum on Sunday, become a member, and then come over here, have some beers. And 20% is going to go back to them. So
that's fantastic.
This Sunday. It's right around the corner.
Now, I'm excited the beginning of this relationship with you guys moving in. One thing we didn't highlight is our partnership with the Columbus Crew SC that we've done the Hometown Hero.
Yeah.
And General Ferreter was a Hometown Hero earlier this season. That should, as we continue on and look, they're going to just be across the river from you guys, so that should be...
That's great.
You know, we're excited to continue that and, you know, continue to honor veterans with the Hometown Hero at the Crew.
Yeah, pretty good view of the new stadium site from the roof of that site.
That's true.
You can see that smokestack that they've got with the Crew logo on it now. Pretty clear as day from up there. So. Yeah.
And a lot of folks that you know, are coming down that have been to the brewery. It's really if you've been in Columbus, it's in the same spot the original Vets was. So it's tough to miss if you're driving down the river. It's a beautiful, as well said, concrete, unique architecture that we encourage all of our listeners to make sure that make sure you go and you know, whether it's a family member that you have that might be a veteran or. Just learning again that education piece is huge and it's very impactful and mm-hmm. You know, I would recommend anyone to go if you haven't yet. So
it's really cool, and so as sincere as it is to talk about it, just it's really cool for kids. It's really, I mean, they love it. It's really cool for those that are taking your mom and dad around when as they get older. It's really cool for field trips. It's just a really, really cool place, and you don't feel like you're in a museum at all. It's not wonky. It's pretty awesome.
Definitely. Love it. Well, hey, thank you, General Ferrer and Nick, for joining us this week. Hope you guys enjoyed the beers with us. We certainly enjoyed having you on and learning more about Fest Memorial.
Thanks. Relationships are for life. We'll see you on the street.
Yeah, definitely. Cheers.
All right. Cheers. Cheers. Yeah. Thank you very much.